Good morning. Thank you, worship team. I'm Magriet van die Kerk, and what a privilege to be here this morning. Time in the presence of the Lord is never wasted, and He always restores, and He always heals, and He's always ready to welcome us. Yeah, and especially this morning, I was actually having a discussion, well, a firmish discussion with my daughter this morning. Like a mom, she tends to go for the practical things rather, so we end up wearing jeans a lot, or shorts, or, you know, whatever will be easiest. And this morning, I really wanted her to dress in a dress because we have an important dinner or lunch afterwards. And I kept on telling her, you promise me every week that next Sunday you're going to wear one of those 5 dresses that I bought that's in your cupboard. And she's like, but she doesn't want to do that. And I'm like, Margriet, jy moet onthou, jy's 'n dame. Ons dames hou van mooi aantrek. And so she says, yeah, but you know, she doesn't get it. And I'm like, Margriet, it's a privilege. It's a wonderful thing to be a lady, to be feminine, to dress up, to do your hair. I'm not saying you should look like a Christmas tree, but, you know, put some effort into it and look feminine. And then Ross says, yes, Margriet, it's a nice thing for a lady or for a girl or a woman to take some effort and, you know, look nice and dress nicely. And I tell Margriet, it's something that men can't do. They can't do that. And then Nathan chirps from outside of his room. He's like, ja, Margriet, dat is waar, hoor. Anyway, so, yeah, and on that topic, I was just, while Naomi was sharing, I just wanted to say that if you're a lady in this room today and you feel that you're struggling with your femininity, whatever the part that might be that you're struggling with, whether you feel like dressing up or just, you know, putting an effort into your outward appearance isn't something that you like doing, or whether, like the example she mentioned, there's something that you want to work on, and I'm not looking at somebody specific in this room where you didn't necessarily have that example growing up, and there are many things that you want to achieve or that you feel a woman should do. Please speak to somebody. There are many ladies that you can aspire to or that will be willing to walk the road with you. Yeah, make the effort. It's worth it. I want to introduce a very special lady, a friend. I've known Jolene and Richard for a long time now. I was thinking this morning that the first time I really took note of Jolene was when she came on an outreach team to our church in Pretoria, I think. And back then, she really immediately caught my eye just in the way that she does things. And obviously, she's really beautiful, and I love the color of her hair. But I grew to really love her personality as well. And I've seen her through, that's many years now, seen her, how she serves God and how she did outreach. And then just her approach to marriage as a single lady going through that whole process, the discussions we had. I loved the way she thinks, how she processes things, how she's logic, but also very caring, very passionate. But in all, she seeks God first. And we've had many discussions in how she should inquire about the will of God regarding things, then how she got married, and how she really serves her husband, and then becoming a mom and being a corporate woman and doing an excellent job at work and at home. And also when she joined Richard in ministry in Franschhoek, they're really a couple that both Ross and I respect utmostly, if I can put it that way. They've been loyal for many years. They're steadfast. They've got really a resilience to go through anything. And it's people that we welcome into our church with open arms and open hearts. And we'd love to hear from you.
Oh, the pressure after that. Thank you, Margriet. I always am slightly nervous about that bar, but I know it's an honoring art, so I receive it. So Margriet touched on it, but you know, just time in God's presence is just what we live for. We don't come, we don't gather, just because we need another activity on a Sunday morning. I'm sure we all have full diaries, but I just realized that we gather around His presence, and He's the one we aim to hear from this morning. But before I start there, I want to thank Ross and Margriet. Ross is not here. He sent me a message early this morning. He's preaching out to another church. That's what we do. We juggle the pulpits. My husband's not here, unfortunately. He's at home preaching in Franschhoek. But Ross and Magriet, I've known Ross since I met him in my first year, 2001, in Halshoogte, in Stellenbosch. And that's many years ago. And then I met Magriet in 2006 in Pretoria. They were starting out the church there. And we went, like she said, a team from Stellenbosch. And it was me and Philip Bossoff who led the team. He's now the pastor in Pretoria. So it's been many years. Ross actually married us. This year it's 15 years. And you can all see the picture up there. That is not what we normally look like. That is what we looked like last Sunday after church when they said, look, you got to give us a new photo for the website, because the one that we've got on the website about the pastors of Franschhoek, our little Christina, is 2 years old. That was 5 years ago when we went there. And we are terrible with photos. We do not like photo shoots. But the guy that took this got one nice photo. So all other moms know this is not how it goes always. But that is us. I think our kids, I looked at it Monday morning when the photographer is one of the leaders in our church. He did it, and he sent it to Rich, and I'm like, oh, we look quite nice. And I looked at the kids, and I'm like, they are beautiful. And then I realized, it's because I married a beautiful husband. But we've got William. He is 11 years old, grade 5. And then Margaret. Margaret is here. She's a little dark head. She is 9 years old. And then Christina is 7 years old. So they are the same height. My husband's got nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing. He's like me. But they are just keeping us so busy. I think all the moms with kids in school, if you didn't spend some time in the rain next to the rugby, hockey, or netball field Saturday or Friday, any of you, it felt like everybody had interskole and a whole lot of stuff. We stand in the rain and we freeze just for that 10 minutes. But that is what we do, and we love it. They are really a pleasure most of the times. They are busy, but they're good. So it's really an honor to be here this morning. Like Magriet said before, I'm going to start my message. It's a little bit more about me. You don't know me. Most of you, I don't know, so you don't know me. I'm going to try and not exclude you guys. It was never the plan. It was never my plan to stand here or to be in ministry at all. In fact, I studied to be, I'm a qualified and trained attorney and conveyancer. So I did oordragte van huise when in Pretoria I did my articles. And then for 14 years, I worked in a private bank. I was an investment analyst and did some contracts for a private bank. So I spent most of my life there. That is what I did. And then 2 years ago, God started speaking to, well, actually more than that, about 5 years ago, we got approached to lead the Franschhoek Church. And I told Richard, well, if you want to be in ministry, let's do it. I don't mind. You know, I just kind of help here and there. So whatever you want to do is fine with me. And he said, yes, he felt God saying he must be in ministry. He'd been in ministry since 2010. Before that, he was an economist. So we're not trained to do this. We really are not. We just really like Jesus. And we love hanging around with him and spending time with his people. So 2 years ago, I joined him full-time in ministry. So I did a law degree, a business degree, an MBA at UCT. I did all of that, but none of that is helping me with what I'm doing now. And isn't that how God is sometimes? He trains you up, he sorts out your character, and then he puts you in a completely different thing. And I'm like, God, why didn't I then study that, you know? But God did that to Paul, and maybe that's a word for some of you, you know. Paul was trained in the Jewish law. He studied with the Pharisees. He would have been the perfect guy to be sent to minister to the Jews. But when he got saved, God sent him to the Gentiles. So sometimes God will take you out of your comfort zone because he loves you so much and he wants you to be utterly dependent on him and know that I cannot do this. And you don't even want Jolene. You want the Holy Spirit. You want God. And that's a beautiful place to be at and to minister from. It is scary, but it's good. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to start. So Father, we thank you just for the privilege of being in your house this morning. Thank you for the privilege, like Magriet said, of just just being ladies and princesses of the King. Father, thank you for being royalty, not because we are special, but because you are the King of the universe. We are yours. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. We invite you to come and minister to us this morning. We thank you that hearts will be healed, that dreams will be healed. Thank you that bodies will be healed this morning, Father, as you come in Jesus' name. I just feel, I know it might be out of our comfort zone, just ignore the leopard crawling kids at the back. On that note, just close your eyes. I want us to do just a little bit of a prophetic act. It's got no meaning in the natural, but in the spiritual, we're saying, God, we're opening our ears. I see many of us with these things called ear muffs that the kids wear on their ears when it's cold. And I just feel God is saying for some of you that there's actually been ear muffs spiritually on your ears, that you feel like, I can't hear the voice of God. I'm just struggling. I cannot hear what he wants to say to me. And I just feel the Holy Spirit is coming this morning and just removing those earmuffs. So I want you to, if you feel comfortable, if you're a visitor and you don't feel comfortable at all, there's no pressure. But why don't you just put your faith with me and just let's just do this prophetic act together. Let's just take those earmuffs off in Jesus' name. So you can just imagine those earmuffs. So we thank you, God, that we just declare every spiritual ear open in this house, not to anything Jolene says, but to Holy Spirit, what you want to say to each lady this morning. Thank you that you have a word for each one of them this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry if that was slightly uncomfortable. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants us to bypass our heads and what makes common sense and why am I doing this that doesn't make sense, and he goes straight for your heart. So there's very often stuff that he wants us to do that we don't understand in the natural, but in the spirit, we attach our faith to what he wants to do, and the breakthrough comes. All right, so I just have two words quickly that I just want to share. That lady with the red, the older lady with the red, can you raise your hand? I just want to see if you see me. Yes, I just felt a word for you. I feel I could be completely wrong. So I'm just trying to be obedient to what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying. But I felt like you've maybe been going through a bit of a challenging season in some area of your life lately, yes? And I just felt God saying that he's been seeing you all along. And he saw the difficult tears and the nights of tears that you've cried. But he's saying that in that time, he's been developing your character. And that he's actually given you keys in this season that it's been difficult that will open massive doors in the season to come. And maybe some of the stuff that happened wasn't of God, but he's going to use all of it. He's going to use all of it, and he's going to beautify all the what looks like scattered pieces. He's going to beautify all of that. So I just bless you, and I encourage you. And I feel God is saying, I've seen you, and you are a faithful servant. And he just wants to encourage you that he sees you in this time. All right, just bless you. And then there's one more. The purple. I'm looking at the purple. Yes. He's like, please don't look at me. I felt God saying, look, I don't know you at all. Like I said, if it's not of God, you just flush it. I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm just a vessel. But I just feel God is saying that you are royalty. You are royalty. And you deserve the very best. And I don't know if there's maybe a decision in your life now or one that's maybe coming in next while, but I felt God saying, don't settle for second best. In whatever decision you make, remember who you are, your identity in Christ. And because you are his, you are deserving of the very best. Don't settle for second best. So I bless you in whatever decisions. All right. Okay. Got one last one for Melissa. Those who are visiting, Melissa is a pastor here, and I just felt last night, I was actually kind of half asleep and, you know, one of those, and I just felt God saying that you are called and anointed to be a leader in this church. You have the authority not just with the ladies. I felt specifically that you are not called to just pastor ladies, but that even with the men, you have authority. And it's not because you're special, but because of the office that he's called you to and the anointing that's on your life for a time such as this. So we just, you know, sometimes we as ladies, we don't honor We don't honor when God promotes another lady. So I want to honor you on behalf of the ladies and say you are doing well. You are doing well and you are called. And when it's difficult, remember, it's not me. It's God who has called me for this office. So we just bless you. I actually want to pray for you. So maybe you can just stretch out your hands to her. Lord, we just bless you for Melissa. Sorry, out of the camera. We just bless you for Melissa, Father. We thank you, God, that she is called, that she is anointed, Lord God. Thank you that she is your anointed vessel, God. Thank you, God, that she is a forerunner. And I thank you, Lord, that the authority that she carries in the Spirit is from you, Lord, that she didn't call herself, Lord. And we just acknowledge that, Father, and we honor her this morning, and we say thank you, Father, for blessing us with her, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would put more fire in our bones and in our heart to seek you and to run after you fearlessly and boldly, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now I'm really going to start. Sorry. All right, so we are going to start. We are going to read about most of us that grew up in church. Doesn't matter what church. I just want to say Mia is going to marry one of my husband's many brothers. They are four brothers, and she's getting married to the youngest one, Travis, in December. So she's my new sister. Thank you, Mia, that you may come support. All right, she told me on Friday, I saw her at Walgemoed, our kids did sport. She said, I'm going to come support you. So I said, I need all the support I can get. So we're going to read from Luke 19. Most of you know the story about Zacchaeus. Almal ken dit, die kort mannetjie wat in die boom ingeklim het, né? All right, so I'm going to read fast. It's only 9 verses. I think it is up there if you don't have your Bible. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I just love this story. I don't know how often you guys read the stories, the stories and the things that Jesus did when he walked the earth. But I love this story. I can so relate to this guy called Zacchaeus. Now, the first verse I want to look at, there's just four little things that I want to highlight this morning that I felt God said I'm going to share with you this morning, and then we're going to minister, and we're just going to pray, because we don't change with words. We change when we encounter Jesus, when he speaks a word to us, into our hearts. So we're going to start with verse 3-5, and it says there, and he sought to see Jesus, but there was a crowd, and he was short, and he couldn't see, so he ran ahead, and then Jesus saw him in the tree, and Jesus didn't just say, hey, you up in the tree. Remember, there are many people there. There are many people. Everybody's wanting to be with Jesus. Everybody's wanting to come close. There are many, many people there. But Jesus doesn't just say, hey, you in the tree, which would have been amazing because he acknowledged the man in the tree. But he actually says, he calls him by name and he says, Zacchaeus. He knows his name. And I'm going to share a little bit of me. I grew up in a house that with the most amazing parents in the whole world. Magriet and Ross have actually stayed at my parents. They're farmers in the middle of the Free State, in the middle of nowhere. They still farm. And I grew up in this house. My dad is phenomenal at loving, so good at loving. So I always knew I am loved, no questions. I'm the middle of 3 kids. My sister's the oldest one, really love her. She's a little bit of a freak, and I'll say it to her face. She did hockey, field hockey, you know, what the kids play in all the schools. But she became the Springbok captain, and she went to Olympics, two or three Olympics. I can't remember. Commonwealth Games. You know, she was just a star, a eight blinker from the beginning. And then it's me in the middle. And I spoke to Karin before and told me, I'm a middle child. I just blend in. I just do what I do. And Dale said, yo, I work. So I was like, we're in the same company. We understand each other. So Anli was the oldest, well, is the oldest one. And then I've got a brother, Yuan, amazing guy. But if you know any dad, I'm not going to say none of the dads here are like that with their boys, but maybe it's just a former thing. But the boy is like, this is my son, you know. There's a proud kind of a thing about being the son and the boy, especially if that's the only boy. So I was here in the middle, and I didn't quite really always knew, was I seen? Was I noticed? Was I even significant? So I always knew I was loved. Love was never an issue. I don't struggle understanding and getting God as a loving father because I knew, I still know I'm loved. But being seen, being significant, that was something I really struggled with. I really struggled with understanding. We would go to town. Now it's a farming community. It's small. So if there's somebody that blinks out, that achieves anything, now it's the whole community's, you know, we just all gravitate to. Anli is not just the Kotseer. She's the Springbok of the whole of Winburg, the small little town in the middle of the Free State. So we would go to town. My dad would go to the Kuperasi and I go with, and then you meet somebody and like, is this the one? Is this the Springbok? And I'm like, no, I didn't know you had another daughter. And they didn't mean it in any nasty way, but the devil used that to lie to me and to tell me that I'm not significant, that I'm not seen, that I'm not chosen. And it's not that I didn't achieve anything, but the bar was quite high, in my mind at least. So I wasn't the one that was always in front receiving all the awards at school. I was not that one. I wasn't the famous or the... not famous, how should you say, the popular one at school with the boys. Never had a boyfriend. My first boyfriend, my husband, 26. I thought, aks op die rak, it's over. Luckily, Richard came along. But I wasn't that one. And it was amazing how now I can see how God actually protected me and used that not being popular, that not being the shining, the one in front, the one that everybody puts on a pedestal. It's amazing how God used that to protect so much of me and my innocence, to protect me in so many ways. But going through that, the enemy really lied to me about not being seen. You're not chosen. You're not significant. You're not seen. And that is what God did. Jesus came into my life. He might have said, Jolene, up in the tree, I see you. And I feel that there's maybe some of you this morning that you feel you're not seen. But Jesus is in the room today and he's saying, I'm not just seeing you, I'm seeing Jolene, I'm seeing you. He's calling us each by name. And he's saying, I see you. And maybe you're in a season of your life where you feel, all I see, the crowd in my life is just the washing and the kids' homework, and the food, and the dishes that never seem to end. But God is saying, I see you there, where you feel like what you're doing is not significant, that you're not chosen, you're not seen. God is saying, like I called you by name, I call you by name like I called Zacchaeus. And what you are doing is not insignificant. And I know I still struggle with that. And I still struggle because I carry that thing sometimes, very often, I carry that into my relationships. I carry it into my marriage. I do. The biggest fights, and we have kind of one a year. Luckily, that was about a month ago, so we're good for a couple of months. We have a big one. Big one once a year, and then little ones along the way. The big one is around this. Richard, you don't see me. You're busy with the whole church, but you don't see me. I'm not significant. You just, you know, I'm just here to clean and to give food and to do all the stuff a house needs. And I realized again when we had the the same old fight. I've got such a gracious man. Oh my goodness. He's so humble and so gracious and so loving and slow to anger with me. And I'm the one that overcooks the whole time. You know, I'm like, bah, bah, bah. And he just, are you done yet? Like, I'm coming. I'm done. I'm sorry. But I just realized again, I went back to God and I said, God, you've got to help me. I need more healing. Because you see, when we don't deal with this stuff, whatever it is, we all have stuff. We all have stuff. And it doesn't just go away. We need to go to Jesus. If I don't go to Jesus and get whatever I need for him to say to me and for me to not just know, but to know that I'm chosen, I'm significant, not because of what I do, but because I'm his. If I don't get it from him, I'm going to fight with Richard every single day. And he cannot give me that. But the good news is Jesus can. And he does. And sometimes it's layers. And if you're like me, then it happens. And then you deal with it and you're like, Jesus, heal me. I need to sort this out. What is this? And then maybe a year or two later, he comes again. And then you think, oh, but I did deal with this. Why is it back again? But you know, God is gracious. He goes in layers, like Shrek. He goes in layers. So don't feel discouraged and don't fall for the lie from the enemy that says you haven't made progress. That's nonsense. You have made progress. Progress is just looking like this. Okay, so that's the first point. God sees you. And then verse 7, it says there, but when they saw it, the people saw that Jesus is saying, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And you know, we all struggle with this one. And I used to think I don't have a very big issue with this, but fear of man is an issue. And I never really was all that concerned about, I think it's because I didn't think anybody really cared what I did or said or what I looked like. Or I've got my jeans on this morning, Marguerite. Ek en Marguerite verstaan mekaar. I think that's why also the fear of man wasn't a big issue. What other people think, I didn't really care all that much until we started leading a church. And all of a sudden, I'm aware that I've got a room full of people that look at what I do and how I dress and how I am with my kids. And goodness me, how my kids behave. And every mom knows you cannot control them. You cannot. You can try your best, but you can't. And God really has been speaking and dealing, and this is an ongoing process, about what are they going to say? What are the people going to say? What are they going to think? What if I cry in front? What if I kneel? What if I do something like, say, take off earmuffs that isn't even there? Will the people think I'm crazy? And you can put yourself in that situation. So often, there's the opinion, the crowd's opinion. And we listen to that and we miss out with our appointment with Jesus, who wants to come to our house, because we're more concerned, and not in a bad way, but sometimes we need to close our ears to those around us. And I'm included in that. I feel this morning God is saying, I've got an appointment with you, with each of you. But will you just lock eyes with me? Will you invite me into your house and not listen to what the others say? But she's so radical. And who does she think she is? You know, we've got a, in Franschhoek, oh, I love it. It is the most beautiful place, but it's got the most beautiful people. And our church is a mixed bunch, because Franschhoek is mixed. And we don't have too many options for churches. So if you're not in the conservative church, you land up with the shofar church. So we've got quite a big colored community. And hulle sê ons soos hy is, né? Hulle is in Afrikaans. And they tell me often, they say, dis die familie, wie dink jy is jy? Wie dink jy is jy? Lekker lag hulle, julle verstaan. Wie dink jy is jy om te dink jy gaan beter doen? Or who do you think you are to think that you are going to rise above, that you are going to serve God? Do you think you're now better than us for not drinking or smoking with us on a Saturday at the rugby anymore? Those kind of things are difficult. And that is something that I feel God wants to say this morning. I'm going to actually deliver you, because you know what? Fear is a spirit. Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Fear is a spirit. It comes to torment and intimidates us, and it's a scheme from the enemy. But this morning, God is going to deliver you of fear. Because you know what the enemy wants? He's trying to keep you away from what Jesus has for you. That's all he's doing. Jesus is saying, I'm coming to have a meal with you. But fear wants to keep you out of the house. Wants to say, no, God, but I'm not worthy. You can't come here. I can't do that. I can't be that radical. Because what are the people going to say? What are my family going to say? But I want to encourage you. That's just smoke and mirrors. Fear is just a bully. And then the next point is verse 8, where it says there, Zacchaeus stood and said to Jesus, now Jesus has come into his house. I want you to see here, Jesus didn't say to Zacchaeus has been stealing money, lots of money. He's a tax collector, stealing and lying, lots of money stolen from the Jews. Jesus doesn't say, look, now that we're alone, can we talk about the issue that's clearly in the room, the white elephant? You have been stealing lots of money. You are not doing good. Jesus doesn't do all of that. Just Jesus being in the room is enough for Zacchaeus to repent. And you know, this is such a beautiful, almost description of Romans 2 verse 4 says, we all know that scripture, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God, Jesus comes because he's good, and it's his goodness. And we often want to tell people, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and I want you to be saved. And Jesus says, no, no, no. It's the goodness. It's the love of Jesus that leads us to repentance. You know, this little Margaret one, she's at Kids Church. She came with me this morning. She's the middle one, the dark-haired one, my little girl. She was 6 years old, and I asked her this morning, whenever I share any stories about them, I always ask them first, and she said, yes, I may share. She was 6 years old, grade R, and they had a concert. She's in, like I said, Stellenbosch Primary, and they have a grade R and grade R, they have a concert together every end of the year. So it is full. You know how it goes, the oma, opa, the oom, the tani, everybody comes. We don't get, it's like half an hour before the concert, you know, starts. There's no more space in the school hall. It's packed, packed. They come and they do a little concert. Everybody who are, we'll all go home. And about 2 days before the concert, this was 3 years ago, she was 6 years old, yeah. She comes to me in my room and I'm busy getting dressed and she says, Mom, when you and Daddy have to speak in front of the church, are you scared? Are you nervous? I said, yeah, very nervous. So she said, well, how do you do it then every week? So I realized, I said, Margaret, what's going on? What are you scared about? She says, this concert. She has to go on the stage and it's quite, you know, she's scared. And we spoke about it and I said, well, it's quite nervous to be, quite normal to be nervous, but scared, not really good. And this morning when I asked her, can I share it? She said, well, then I have to do what I did to her. And I said, okay. So I drew a little heart on her hand. So she drew mine this morning, and I said, well, when you're standing about to go into the hall, you look at this hand and you see the little heart, and then you know Mommy and Daddy really loves you, and we are proud of you. And then you look at the other hand, and there's a little cross, and she had that for about a week on her hands as they were practicing and getting ready. And then you look at that cross, and you say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. She was 6 years old. That's about as much we can do. And every day after school, I'd say, how did the practice go? And yeah, goed, goed. I remember, did you remember? Yeah, Jesus helped my mama's lief for my ichat ons, okay. So the night of the concert, now I'm telling my husband, you know how it is as a mom. You put your faith there and you're saying God will help you. But in the meantime, you're like, jyre, asblief help die kind. So just being honest, it's difficult. So we get into the hall and it's packed. We didn't even get a chair that night. We were standing on the side. And all the kids, my two other ones, were sitting in front on the ground because there's no chairs for kids. There's just people everywhere. And in they come, and now I've got my phone because we all want to take a video for the Oman Opa on the place or whatever. And up comes Margaret. Now, Margaret's short stature, a little bit shorter. So she lands up right in the middle in front. I drop my phone, and I'm like, Richard says, what's wrong? I said, ons moet bid. I'm like, if this child freezes, I don't think she'll ever do. I mean, she's right in front, right in the middle. She's a little pada. She asked me, she said, please don't say pada. I said, but how can I not? It's okay, say maar, it was a pada. She was a little frog. She's standing right in front. And now my instinct as a mom is like, Yara, I believe we're going to have, you know, we're going to need so much counseling if this goes south. And I'm like, all I at this stage can do is Jesus help my, Jesus help or Jesus help ons amal. And she starts dancing. Now, you see what also happens at that age is all the people like me, I've now put my camera away because I'm praying, but we all rip out our cameras. Everybody's vying at their one little kid in front. And these kids are, it's intimidating. I don't actually know how they do it. I think it's very scary. So the first couple of seconds, everybody kind of freezes. You know, everybody's just kind of like a deer in a headlight trying to figure out what do I do? And then luckily there's a teacher in front that says, hey, just focus. And she starts dancing, guys. I'm just praying. And after a couple of seconds, I realized she's rocking it. I mean, she danced. She was the only one about in, I think they have about 6 or 7 classes all at once on the stage. It's many little kids. Man, she danced the best that anybody has ever seen a kid dance. She had the rhythm going. Some of the other kids didn't really know what the rhythm was, nothing. But I mean, she rocked it and she was smiling. She was actually enjoying it. And afterwards, I was so relieved. I was like, oh, goodness, thank you, Jesus. We got through this, no counseling required. I actually think we're all right. And I go to a class after the concert to get her. She looked at me, and the first thing I want to say to her, it was amazing. She looked at me, and she's like, Jesus said, my help, mama, Jesus said, my help. And that broke me. And I was like, how does a God of the universe, he's got many things on his plate. He's got the war in Ukraine. He's got people in Africa who don't have food. Name it. He's got other little kids that have got much bigger needs and requirements. But he loves a little 6-year-old enough to help her with a bada concert. And I was just, that broke me. And I was like, that is the goodness of God. That is the Jesus we serve. And you know, if you grew up in a church maybe like me where we used to scuffle into the pews, nothing wrong with a pew, but nobody said anything. They read the Ten Commandments every single Sunday. So I knew if you follow Jesus, there's stuff you can do and stuff you can't do. That I knew from early on. But I somehow missed that he really loves me. And that he's on my side. And that he's got the best for me. And if it matters to me, it matters to him. If a para concert of a 6-year-old little girl, if he is interested in that, he's interested in everything else that's on my heart. That's the goodness of God. And that's what happened to Zacchaeus. That's what happened. Jesus didn't have to say anything. It's the goodness of God. That's the God we serve. And I'm going to end with the last verses, verse 9. It says there, and Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. You see, many times we think it's just about me. But yeah, Zacchaeus' choice to allow Jesus in brought salvation to his whole house. It wasn't just about him. And I feel that there's some of you, you've maybe wanted to give up in certain area. Maybe you're struggling with some sin or some addiction, and you've been wanting to give up. Maybe you're struggling with depression or anxiety, and you're saying, I can't do this anymore. I want to give up. But you need to know that you're not just fighting for you. You're fighting for generations to come, for your whole household. Jesus never sees only you. He sees generations to come, not just natural generations. He sees spiritual generations. He sees communities. You are not just fighting for you. When you take a stand and you allow Jesus into your life and into your house, it's not just, it's never. The kingdom is never just about us. There's always so much more. And this morning we're also going to pray, because I felt quite strongly for some of you, you're like, God, I want to be healed emotionally. You came to heal the brokenhearted, and God is saying, I want to heal you this morning. And we're going to pray for many people who wants to be healed, and Jesus has been speaking to you about just being seen and emotional healing. But Jesus is saying, I didn't die, salvation, I didn't die on the cross just for you to be emotionally and spiritually healed, but also for your bodies to be healed. Sometimes we separate the two. And Isaiah says Jesus' body was broken so that we will be healed. And being part of being saved is being fully healed. That's when Jesus gets his full reward of his suffering, is when we are healed emotionally, spiritually, physically. You know, we started doing healing services. I'm almost done. We started doing healing services because we felt God speaking to us quite a lot about healing. We're quite comfortable with emotional healing, but physical healing was new for us. We started doing it about 2 years ago, and about once a quarter, we have a healing service. We have one next week again. My husband normally says, you do it. I'll pray. And does everybody get healed? No, not yet. But does some people get healed? Yes, many. Because that is who Jesus is. He says in Exodus, I'm the God who heals you. He's not just interested. Yes, he's very much interested in our hearts being healed. But he wants our bodies to be healed as well. That doesn't mean he doesn't use medicine. He does. But he also does it miraculously at times. And the end of last year, in about October, we had a service. And the one lady, you will be amazed at the amount of sick people in church. It's always heartbreaking to see that 90% of the church stands up when we're going to pray for people who are sick. So this lady, Mallory, she's on the keys, and she said she was kind of going like this lady is now at the back. And then she realized, but she also needs prayer because she hasn't been eating gluten, sugar, salvel. She pretty much only eats meat and vegetables and fruit all of her, for something like 10 years. That's all she could eat. And she said she felt that morning, but she's going to trust God to be healed of this. I don't know what you call it. She's quite intolerant of anything and everything. But there was nobody left to pray for her because everybody was paired up. Whether you're a visitor or not that morning, you were praying for somebody. Because it's not anywhere in the prayer. It's God. It's Jesus that does it. It's the Holy Spirit. So we're just a vessel. So she said she was standing there and she's like, "Daar's niemand om vir my te bid nie." So she said, well, I'm just going to pray for myself when they say pray. And she said she was playing the background music. She said, Jesus, command this issue to leave in the name of Jesus. And she said she felt a little bit of a tingling sensation, but not much. And she carried on, and that was it. After the service, she tells her husband, Dirkie is a good old faithful evangelist in our church. He's a teacher at Bridge House. And she told him, I asked God to heal. I asked Jesus to heal this nutrition issue or whatever it is. And he said, let's go for pizza. We're testing it out. So she said, okay. Normally, so they're off they go to Kolkata's. And normally she said for about a week, if she ate the stuff she's not supposed to eat, it would be very sore. She would have cramps. It would be really uncomfortable and sore. Off they go. Dirkie says, we're testing it out. We trust God healed you. She shared the testimony with us in March only this year because she said she wanted to check whether it was really healed and she didn't want to share anything. In March, they small group leaders with us. At the leaders' meeting, she got up and she said, God healed her completely. She's been eating sugar, salvel, anything and everything. Dirkie's only complaint is now he has to share the chocolates. So normally, he could do it all. God healed her in an instant. Sometimes God does that, sometimes he takes a process, but he wants to heal because he's interested in your whole house. He's interested not just in one part of you, Not just in one area of you. He's interested in healing everything. The last testimony I'm going to share, and then we're going to pray for people. We had a guy, Andre is his name. He, in February this year, he came to the front for prayer. And sometimes this happens. I'm sure it doesn't happen in this church, but it happened in our church. So he comes forward, and I sent the one guy to go pray for him. And I'm praying for a lady, and I'm going like this, and I'm like with my eyes saying, "You need to pray for Andre. He's standing here." And the guy goes over, and Andre tunes him, "No, I want the pastor to pray for me." So this guy says, "Look, we'll wait for the pastor, but in the meantime, can I pray for you? Because Jolene said I must pray." And this poor man is now between a rock and a hard place because he's trying to listen to me. But this guy, so he said, "Okay, yeah, come a bit, totdat die pastoor kom." So Andre says, he came and he testified about a month later, and he said, "What? When this guy started praying, he's got an issue with his back, lower back issue. Lots of pain, would drink painkillers almost every day." And he said he could feel his legs. He says his legs were like it was wanting to do break dancing. So it started going like this. And then the guy told him, "Look, I think maybe we should check if your legs are the same length. Because sometimes when the one leg is slightly longer or shorter, then it causes back pain or back issues." Mahrit will know more than that. So they had him sit on the chair, and out grew the leg. They prayed and outgrows the leg. The next minute, now I'm praying here for this lady. Luckily, her eyes are closed. My eyes are open. I'm seeing here. They jump up, start shouting and screaming. And in church, it's wild. In church. And I'm like, "What's going on?" Off they go, hugging each other. Off they go. Andre, he has been in church for a long time. But do you know how that put that man on fire? The goodness of God leads us to repentance. He came back the next week and he says he just wants to say he's been lukewarm, but Jesus healed him. He's got no more back pain. It's been like 6 months, no back pain. He said he once had to take back pain killers or whatever because he fell asleep on the couch and he twisted it. He fell asleep in an awkward position. But other than that, from taking painkillers every single day to no painkillers. And more than the healing, it's getting more than the healing, it's about the God that loves me enough, that loves Andre enough to heal him, all of him. So this morning I'm gonna ask you to close your eyes. You can play Swiss chef. So I'm gonna pray for us. Lord, we just thank you that you are so good. That you are so, so good. Jesus, that you love us. Jesus, that you care about every single thing that we care about. That if it matters to me, it matters to you. Thank you that you're not a far off God, that you want to come close. That you see us. And this morning, Father, if you maybe can relate to what I shared, and all the eyes are closed, nobody's going to see you. But if you can relate to what I shared around feeling that I'm not seen, I'm not significant, I'm never chosen, then I want you just to slip up your hand. We're going to pray for you. There's many hands. Amen. Amen. I also feel that there's some of us, and it links in with what Mahrit said, that you've actually felt that it would have been better if I was a man. It's actually quite negative. Maybe you haven't even thought that I wanted to be a man, nothing like that, but you just felt being a lady is really hard, and it's actually negative. It's negative. Your image about being a lady is a negative one. There's more hands going up. If that is you, amen. And then I also felt God wants us to pray. There's some of you that you've been fighting stuff, and we all have stuff. Maybe even considered walking away from Jesus just because you've grown tired. You've grown tired, and it's been a long season. You feel like, I actually cannot do it anymore. I just want to give up. But I feel this morning God is going to refresh you, and he's going to put new fire in your bones, because you're not just fighting for you. You're fighting for your whole house. And God is going to come and refresh you again. So if that's you, if you feel I'm tired, I cannot do it anymore. There's more hands going up. Amen. And then the last one before I'm going to carry on is, if you're struggling with the fear of man, and you know the Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart that other people's opinion, it's not that we don't care, but there's a place for that, and sometimes we care too much. And the caring too much is actually being intimidated by the fear of man. If that is you, if you're struggling and you know that is something that's influencing you and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about it, I want you to slip up your hand. All right. And then I'm going to go over to the physical before I'm going to invite you over. I'm just going to stop you. I just feel the Holy Spirit is saying that there's some of you, you're wondering, how do I hear the voice of God? If during what I spoke, there's something that really resonated with you, if there's a portion of what I shared that maybe caused you to become emotional, if your heart went crazy, klop, 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 finnach now, if you feel heat in any part of your body, that is God speaking to you. Sometimes he sounds like our own voice. When Samuel thought it was Eli calling him, it was a familiar voice, yet it was the voice of God. So for some of you, that earmuffs, it's off in Jesus' name, and you do hear his voice. So on the physical side, I felt that there's some of you that you've actually been struggling with anxiety and stress, but not the normal nervousness. It's actually affected your body, and especially the stomach, your tummy area. I feel God is saying, this morning I'm going to heal you. I'm going to deliver you of that stomach ulcer. I felt that there's even some people with stress related, you're struggling with shoulders that's causing massive headaches, migraines. It's actually taking you out sometimes that you can't even go to work because it's so intense. And then it's also, I feel that there's some people that's actually also struggling to sleep. You can't sleep because your mind is racing. You're either struggling to fall asleep or you wake up at 3 o'clock and you're not rested. And the cycle is just repeating itself. And I felt God is saying, this morning I'm going to break that cycle in Jesus' name. And then for some of you, and it might be for those who are maybe having a negative perspective around being a lady, I feel God is saying, I'm going to heal you of that this morning, but that's going to set some, sorry for the guys in here, but for some of you, your menstrual cycles are actually out. And that's, you've been going to doctors, or you've been, it's actually also causing some barrenness, struggling to fall pregnant. And God is saying, I'm going to heal you as you come to me, and I'm going to break the lie that you should have been different and it's bad to be a lady. When that lie is broken, God is actually going to heal your cycle, and you will be fertile and have the babies God wants you to have, whether it's now or in seasons to come. And then the last one, which is slightly odd, but I'm going to go with it anyway, is I felt, is there anybody struggling with ear pain, especially the left ear? Is there anybody like that? If you can slip up. Oh, there we go. Praise God. Amazing. All right, so I called out a whole lot of things. This is the moment to be brave. So if you stuck up your hand for any of that, I want you to come up. Get your bag and come to the front. We've got some ladies that are going to pray with us, and we're going to trust God to break every lie, to confirm the truth, to heal bodies. So I want you to get up and come to the front. I know it's scary.